You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 9th of August, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to look at the civil service again and the promotion of anti-white ideology within it. Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, the United Kingdom's tax collecting agency, has reportedly spent millions in taxpayer money employing full-time diversity and inclusion officers. And what is the point of that? I mean, the tax collecting agency, surely that is supposed to just go out and collect taxes from people. Why do they need a full-time officer there to increase the numbers of black people and increase the numbers of gay people that are employed by the HMRC? Surely if the HMRC are looking for employees, they want to take on the best employees, the ones with the qualifications for the job. Well, that's not good enough. They have to have this diversity and inclusion officer. They have to spend millions on having these people whose job it is simply to increase the number of non-white people and replace as many white people as possible within the organisation. But part of their role is also to search out for microaggressions and anything that could be conceived as being negative behaviour towards anybody non-white, regardless of the fact of whether they might have actually done something wrong or not. The very people responsible for taxing the British public have reportedly been using the hard-earned cash of workers to employ woke diversity officers to the tune of over £3 million since 2019 alone. So they're spending the money that people think is going towards paying off the national debt is actually going towards trying to replace as many white people as possible within the service, within the organisation. According to a Freedom of Information request reported by the Westminster political blog Guido Fawkes, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs is spending £1 million per year to employ 16 full-time diversity SARs. 16 of these people have got jobs there, whose job isn't to collect taxes. It's just to replace white people. The site noted, however, that the Freedom of Information request reveals that the 16 are not alone in performing diversity roles within the tax collecting agency, with others taking on such roles in addition to their regular duties. So they have these commissars in every department whose role it is just to increase the numbers of black people that are working there, increase the numbers of gay people that are working there, to look out for gendered language, look out for language that could be construed as having something to do with race, anything really that that they can think of that might be politically incorrect. It's their job to find that, and effectively like thought police, I guess. The report claimed that out of the 16 full-time diversity employees, one is earning a grade 6 salary, which can mean up to £80,000 per year in London, while five others are on grade 7 salaries, which can reach £66,000 a year. I mean, these diversity and inclusion officers, they get paid an absolute fortune, especially in the corporations as well. I think there's it might even be a law that every corporation now has to have a diversity and inclusion officer. The Freedom of Information request also revealed that the HMRC has its own race delivery program, which has a budget of $1.5 million for the 2022-23 reporting period with 16.87 full-time equivalent staff. What could that possibly be? A race delivery program? I would imagine it's the same as the diversity and inclusion officers, and it's all about delivering on an aim to have a certain quota number of non-whites employed by the HMRC. All this comes as Attorney General Suella Braverman ordered her staff last week to scrap all diversity programs in the government legal department. And we've spoken about Suella Braverman before on the Daily Nationalist, and we were also talking about her yesterday in Real Britannia, particularly the editorial that she wrote about these diversity programs and how they were a complete waste of money. They were just a witch hunt looking for heretics, and she's removed them all from the law department, and she wants to see them removed from all government departments. Braverman, who was recently winnowed out of the Tory leadership race to replace Boris Johnson as Prime Minister, said that she was horrified to find out that government lawyers spent nearly 2,000 hours of their taxpayer-funded time last year attending lectures on micro-incivilities, different lived experiences, and how to be a straight ally, courtesy of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights charity Stonewall. And she also pointed out that they were being taught that if a black person says something is offensive, then that is offensive. And she pointed out that that goes against all due process within law, and that has no place within a law department. You cannot just base things on people's feelings, and the supposed victim cannot also be the judge and the jury. And effectively, that's what is being taught with these diversity programs that are going on within these departments. The Attorney General has called on other government ministers to join her in trying to root out woke programs from their departments, although it remains to be seen if this will happen, given that the Conservative Party, which has held the reins of power for over a decade, has so far failed to stop their spread. And it's the Conservative Party that have organised this, basically. They're the ones that have said every company has to have a diversity inclusion officer. Every company and every department has to be seen to be promoting diversity. So these companies and organisations, departments, they think, well, how can we be seen to be promoting diversity? Well, we'll have to get on a diversity and inclusion officer. We'll have to get in touch with these left-wing charities, and we'll have to get them in. We'll have to pay them a lot of money in order to teach the people in that department all about things such as this, micro-incivilities and lived experiences. Whether that has anything at all to do with the work that the department is supposed to be doing is another matter. It is also questionable if Braverman will even be able to eliminate the diversity programs under her watch, in light of the fact that a new government will be ushered in on September 5th, when Boris Johnson's replacement is to be given the keys to number 10. And I think it's going to be Liz Truss that becomes the new leader of the Conservative Party. And she has spoken up, I think, in the past about these diversity programs and said that she doesn't agree with them. Rishi Sunak over the weekend spoke out about grooming gangs and said that due to political correctness, these crimes had not been properly investigated and that they should get extreme punishments for what's going on there. But of course, that's what everybody has been saying, and nothing's been done about it. And I guess it's like we give ourselves permission for somebody to be saying things like that if they are actually non-white. It's rather like Kemi Badenoch, the black MP, when she speaks up about white privilege and white guilt and how Black Lives Matter shouldn't be going on in the schools. We give her permission to say that because she's black. But if somebody white was to be saying that, they would, of course, be accused of being a white supremacist and trying to give racism a pass. It is likely, however, that Braverman will have some role in the next government, as she was an early and important backer of the current frontrunner, Foreign Secretary Liz Truss, and she is, of course, already the Attorney General. And it would be good if Suella Braverman gets a position in government. She may not be white, but she certainly does have genuine conservative views. And if we cannot have somebody white with conservative views, then somebody non-white with conservative views is certainly going to be a good alternative. Better than having a left-wing MP in that position, of course. Braverman, who is seen as representing the right wing of the Conservative Party in Parliament, has defended Truss's anti-woke credentials, saying this week, long before it was fashionable, she, Liz Truss, has taken a strong line on freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and being against cancel culture. Well, I certainly hope she has. I think she may have spoken out against the online harms bill, and they have put a pause on that. It would be very good if she stopped that or got that reworded so that it was only illegal speech that was banned from the internet, not legal speech, but that the government decide could be harmful. Because, of course, it's aimed at children as well. So they're saying anything that that the government thinks could be harmful to children, even if it's completely legal speech-wise, then it should be banned. And that's like saying somebody that's driving 29 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone should be given a ticket just because they're driving close to 30 mile an hour, when in actual fact they're doing exactly what they should be doing, and they're keeping within the law. The task of rooting out leftism within the British deep state will be no simple task, with reports indicating that woke has spread throughout the civil service. Last week it was reported that bureaucrats have been subject to training sessions instructing them that Britain is a racist country and that they should not contradict colleagues of colour. And we'll have a look at that article shortly. And this is what's going on in these departments. They're being told that the whole country is racist, that there is institutional racism. This is all despite the study that the government commissioned last year that discovered that there was no institutional racism in Britain, and that the differences in outcome were down to socio-economical factors rather than down to these departments or organisations discriminating against people because they don't like certain colours. Other reports have claimed that civil servants have been told that they should recognise that there are over 100 genders and that it should be seen as normal if their co-workers change their gender on a day-to-day basis. What has that got to do with the work that they're doing? I mean, I can recall reading an article a while back here that one-fifth of the work hours were spent on doing this diversity promotion and teaching civil servants about the genderbread man and about how there are 100 different genders. Left-wing ideas on race have also been a key element in the woke takeover of the permanent state, with radical critical race theory advocates such as Ibram X. Kendi and Robin DiAngelo being featured on anti-racist reading lists for government employees. And we talked about one of these books last week, not actually by one of those authors, but the book How to Be an Anti-Racist that was given out to schools, New York schools, part of their reading lists, which seeks to make the readers of the book into left-wing anti-racist activists. And of course, this is going on in the deep state. This is going on with the civil service. It's going to affect the civil service. It's going to make it left-wing. And when you get in a conservative government, they're just going to be given left-wing advice. That's the problem with this. The civil servants are always there, regardless of who is in government or not. And the advice that they give is always going to be left-wing advice because they've had all these left-wing programs taught to them. In this drive to promote diversity and to be anti-racist, all the organisations that promote that sort of thing, they're all left-wing organisations. So when a company or a department seeks to be in keeping with the government's programme of promoting diversity, they bring in one of these charities, such as Stonewall or Mermaids, and what they're taught is all extreme left-wing ideology that claims things such as Britain is racist or Britain is homophobic, when there are plenty of homosexual MPs in government and there are plenty of non-white MPs in government. Well, let's have a look at this article here, which was instructing civil servants not to contradict colleagues of colour. Civil servants in Britain's deep state bureaucracy have been trained that their country is racist and that white government employees should defer to colleagues from ethnic minority backgrounds. So black people are always right, and white people should always back down and say they're wrong. And that sounds ridiculous, but that is what people are actually being taught with this agenda. They're being told that white people should just be quiet, and the black person can never be wrong in what they're saying because it's their lived experience. Where's the equality in that? Where is the equality in that? What about the white person, if their lived experience is that they were discriminated against and they got looked over for a job because they were white and because the advert was asking for ethnic minorities? Well, that's just going to get ignored, isn't it? But if the black person says, well, I got looked over for a job and I'm certain it was because I was black, the white person just has to say, oh, well, that must be so then. And that is the ideology that's going through all of this, isn't it, really? When you look at when they say, well, there's more black people in prison than there should be for their percentage of the population. Well, could that be for the same reason why there are more men in prison than their percentage of the population? Well, you're not allowed to say that, are you? You have to say, well, no, it has to be because the judges and the police, they're all being racist, and these are innocent black people that are in prison, and there are criminal white people that should be in prison that are not, because it's all to do with racism, when, of course, there are perfectly good other reasons for why it may be that there are different outcomes for different groups, mainly because they are different. The races are different to one another, not just in appearance, but also in character. A training video for bureaucrats at the Department for Leveling Up Housing and Communities reportedly told civil servants that they should focus on becoming allies of allegedly marginalised groups. And what does that mean? Well, it means putting the wants or the needs of the marginalised group ahead of the needs of your own. And of course, if you're going to be putting the needs of another group ahead of your own, then who is going to be putting the needs of your group first? And this is what we say as nationalists and as white people. It's all very well saying Black Lives Matter and we should be supporting black people to get these jobs and we should be supporting homosexuals to get these things. But if you're going to be doing that, then who is supporting white people to get those jobs and to get these things? Nobody is. And we can see the effect of that with the white working class, the group that is least likely to make it into these top universities. And why is that? Well, it's because the people that should have been looking out for the white working class are concentrating all their energies on looking out for black and minority ethnic people and directing all the resources towards them instead of towards their own group, because they're concentrating on being allies of these supposedly marginalized groups. How can they say that they are marginalized when all these companies have to have diversity and inclusion officers, when there are all these programs of promoting diversity in these government departments? How can they claim these groups are marginalized? It's incredible. The video, which was uploaded to the government's internal website in 2019 and revealed by the Telegraph on Friday, said, "For many of us who are white or white passing, meaning that we are often identified as white in public spaces, the colour of our skin, our race or ethnicity has not had a negative impact on our lives. We call this white privilege." And of course, what they're saying there is if you're black, you're more likely to be stopped and searched. But that's not because the person is black. That is because black people are more likely to be suggested in a witness statement about a criminal attack. The black people are more likely to fit the suspect description. It's not because people think, oh, somebody's black, let's go and stop and search them. And they don't look at white people and say, well, we can't search them because they're white. They say, well, nobody's actually given us a suspect statement that fits these people here. And it's the same when they say, well, black people might go into a shop and the security guard might look at them. Well, again, that's not because they're black. It's because that shop may have had more black people going in there shoplifting for instance. There was a news report the other day about Boots, I think it was, and Boots had to put a lock on all the dark skin tone cosmetics. And the reason why they did this is because the dark skin tone cosmetics were the ones that were all being stolen from the shop. Of course, there was complaints about racism. And they said, well, this isn't a racism thing. This is because these are the items which keep being stolen from the shop. But there was so much pressure on them saying, well, you should have, why haven't you locked up the white skin tones? They must be being stolen as much as the black. And of course they weren't. And Boots ended up having to apologise and take the security locks off the cosmetic products. And now, of course, their cosmetic products are all being stolen again. But we're told that this is white privilege, the reason why white skin tones don't have these locks on them. It's not white privilege, it's simply because the black skin tone cosmetics were more likely to be stolen than the white ones. It's not racism here. White allies can provide a louder and sometimes more impactful voice than those in other communities. They are more likely to be believed when discussing these issues, enabling them to effectively increase awareness of racism among colleagues who might not ordinarily engage. The video continues. They're saying white people are more likely to be believed simply because they're white. Well, it couldn't be because maybe the black person that's discussing these issues, maybe he's not coming across very well, maybe he's not dressed very well. Maybe his English isn't very good. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why that could be. It's not simply because somebody is white, they're more likely to be paid attention to. I mean, nowadays, if somebody is black or non-white, it's more likely that they will be paid attention to by the media, because people won't want to be seen as promoting white people at the expense of black people. Because we have all this promotion of diversity, if you're non-white, you're more likely to be listened to. I mean, just look at the number of non-whites that were in the Conservative leadership election. If it was true that white people are more likely to be believed, then there would have been more white people in the Conservative election. Becoming a great ally means that we spend some time learning and unlearning some of our own behaviours. When we become an ally, this primarily means acknowledging that we ourselves are part of a society, a norm, or a culture or system that is racist. So that's what they mean by ally. It means white guilt. It means accepting that the reason why there are these discrepancies in outcomes, these differences in statistics for each race, is because you yourself as a white man have been oppressing non-whites. And of course, if you're going to identify yourself as an ally here, clearly you're not one of the people that have been oppressing non-whites. And what it actually means is advocating for another group instead of advocating for your own group. I mean, within society, within a multicultural society, you have all these various different people groups, and they're all vying with one another for power and influence and resources. And if you can get these other groups to stop advocating for themselves and start advocating for your group, then obviously your group is going to rise up the ladder, aren't they? But the group that is advocating for your group instead of for its own, they're going to descend down the ladder, aren't they? This is the problem. It's all very well saying people should be advocating for their own people group, but to be saying that white people should be advocating for other people groups is maladaptive. I mean, it's the equivalent of self-harming. It's saying you should be neglecting your own hygiene, for instance, whilst taking care of the hygiene of another person. I mean, that would be the equivalent of what people are being taught here. Due to the alleged racist imbalances in Britain, the critical race theory style video told white government employees that they should become cheerleaders for civil servants of other races, saying by supporting ethnic minority colleagues, you are putting inclusion at the heart of your everyday, creating a workplace that works for everyone, and a feeling of belonging, connectedness, and community. Well, you're not actually doing that, are you? You're becoming a cheerleader for another group at the expense of your own group. How is that going to increase the feeling of belonging, connectedness, and community among white people? It's not. The way to improve that is to get each group to advocate for its own group. And there's no problem with getting black people to advocate for blacks or Jews to advocate for Jews. The only problem we have is getting white people to advocate for white people, because they're continually being told that they should become cheerleaders for these other groups or allies for these other groups. When talking about issues that concern them, try to defer to them, supporting them to field relevant questions. So they're saying there that white people should just defer to black people simply because they're black. I mean, it's almost like we're raising black people up as idols to look up to them simply because they're black. We should be deferring to them. They should be the voice of authority. The training video went further, saying that white civil servants should not even contradict other races, arguing that the experiences of ethnic minority colleagues are theirs and important. So they're effectively saying there that if you're black, it's impossible for you to actually be wrong about anything. I mean, we're so desperate not to offend these other groups. We're just saying that we should just agree with them regardless of whether they are actually correct or not. The imposition of far-left re-education by the supposedly politically neutral civil service is nothing new, despite over a decade of supposedly conservative government under the Tory party. And that is an important point there. The civil service is supposed to be politically neutral, yet we have all these programs that are being taught to them, that are being given by these extreme left-wing groups. Groups such as Mermaids, groups such as Stonewall, promoting the trans agenda, groups like Hope Not Hate, who have been caught out so many times manufacturing stories, paying people for information, which obviously encourages them to say whatever it is that Hope Not Hate want them to say. All of these groups that promote diversity and promote the homosexual agenda, they're all left-wing groups. So when the civil service are taught this stuff, they're taught it always from a left-wing viewpoint. They're not given a right-wing viewpoint at all. So regardless of which party is actually in power, the advice they're going to be given by the civil service is going to be extreme left-wing advice. For example, last year it was revealed that the Civil Service Race Forum organised lessons on how gender isn't binary, using a genderbread person diagram. So they're being taught that there isn't such a thing as male and female. There are all these different genders. So they're just introducing confusion there. I guess they're doing it because they want people to be polite. They want people to be aware that some people might choose to have different pronouns. But what does that have to do with the civil service? What does that have to do with finding out information for the government? Of course, it's just a way that they can say, well, we are promoting diversity, but then that makes its way into government and it makes its way into government law that there are all these different genders, even though it's just a theoretical idea. It's not a fact-based science. I mean, what is the civil service doing having a race forum? Surely the civil service shouldn't be about race. Everybody should be treated equally. Other leaks from the deep state have claimed that civil servants have been obstructed to recognise over 100 genders and that they should accept that their colleagues may change their gender on a daily basis. So somebody could come into work presenting as a male, somebody could come into work the next day presenting as a female, presenting as confused. I mean, normally you would say that somebody like that would probably have a psychological problem. And it's going to be difficult for the people around them trying to work with them if one day they have to treat them as a woman and one day they have to treat them as a man. And of course, there's always the temptation to think that the person doing that is just having a bit of a laugh at the expense of their colleagues. Government employees were also instructed to refrain from using gendered terms such as mother, father, and his. I mean, we're trying to remove all definition from words now, aren't we? We're just trying to introduce confusion, removing male and female from everything. I guess they're going to also want to remove race from everything as well. So you'll end up not being able to define anything for fear of excluding everything else. I mean, when you think about it, learning about everything in the world is all based on discrimination. You discriminate between one object and another object, and what they're trying to do here is remove the ability to discriminate between one thing and another, so everything all becomes equal. And if everything all becomes equal, there would be no knowledge. How would you be able to have any knowledge of anything? Because everything would be exactly the same. You know, this whole idea is illogical. It goes against everything that we've learned through history. Racial identity politics has been a key area of focus for leftist ideologues in the permanent bureaucracy, with civil servants being given reading lists chock full of critical race theory proponents from the US, such as Robin DiAngelo and Ibram X. Kendi, and everything that's going on over there in America is working its way over here to Britain. Responding to the leak of the video, a spokesman for the Department for Leveling Up said, "This video is nearly 3 years old and helps staff have important conversations about race. We keep all our material under review." So bear in mind, that's 3 years old. What they're looking at now is bound to be 10 times worse than it was back then. I mean, this has been leaked from 3 years ago, and it's telling people that they should just defer to black people and say that black people are right simply because they're black. It's telling white people that instead of doing what they can for their own people group, they should be diverting their energy and resources to doing what they can for other people groups. I mean, it's really quite obvious when you think about it and when you look at it. As I pointed out earlier, there's this competition between the different people groups in society. And if you can get these other people groups to be concentrating on increasing the power and influence and resources that your people group has, then you're going to be going up in the competition, aren't you? But the crazy thing about this is that it's white people that are mainly the ones that are doing this. We're doing this to ourselves. It's not black people that have thought, I know, we'll try and get white people to be allies and we'll try and get them to advocate for us instead of advocating for themselves. It's white people that came up with this. You know, we just have this desire to self-harm. It's incredibly maladaptive. And of course, these other groups in society are going to encourage it because it's to their benefit. But the crazy thing is, it's white people that go along with it. That's why it's so important we have an alternative media that breaks these things down and points out exactly what's happening and how it is not of benefit to our group as white people, but it's not of benefit to these other groups either, because it means that what they're achieving in society isn't really achieved by their own efforts themselves. A lot of it is achieved by us, which means that if they were to have to stand on their own 2 feet, say, they wouldn't be able to. And this is what we see happening in South Africa. We see that South Africa is now black run, and we see that it is completely falling apart, and they just blame the white people for it. If we just had separate ethnically homogenous communities and we were all taught to advocate for our own people, the world would be so much of a better place. It would be so much more peaceful for a start. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.